Good morning, everybody. So welcome, everybody, to day two of TechEd 2013. I heard a phone call there as a reminder. Could people please silence their phone calls, except for me? I'm keeping my phone here just in case. This morning, bright and early, 8:30, we're going to be talking about identity management in Office 365. This talk is the overview of Office 365 identity management. And my name is Paul Andrew. We have a packed session this morning to go through, so I'm going to move relatively quickly, although this is an introductory talk. So the aim of this talk is to give you a good understanding, or to give you enough of an understanding that you can explain it to other people, consult with other people about the different forms of identity management in Office 365. We'll start out just by talking about some very basic, very simple identity management concepts, and I just have a couple of those to set the stage and make sure everyone's on a level playing field about background knowledge and information. And then I have a couple of things to talk about which have been recently announced, so that'll be great, and we're going to try and demo both of those, so that'll be very exciting. At least it'll be exciting to see if they work all the way through the first time, so we'll see how that goes. And then the majority of this talk will be about the different ways that you can do identity management in Office 365. And I'm going to walk through the six different mechanisms that you can use an identity provider in Office 365 and talk about those. And then at the end, I'm sure we'll have time for some questions, and I'm sure that you've brought lots of questions with you. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking. Everybody cool? We're ready? Oh, good. All right. Identity management overview. So the very first, the most basic concept in identity management is getting from username password to understanding what are we doing here. And it's very, very simple. And possibly if you're in this room and you've come to learn, you have seen this before, this is the very basics. The first thing that you want to do is identify who a user is. A user comes up to your website, Office 365 is a website. You want to identify who they are. So you want to authenticate them. And we do that through a variety of mechanisms. Simplistically, they have a username and they have a password. And so you figure out who they are. And then the second thing you want to do is authorize them to take various actions or do various things or be entitled to access various services. So we call that authorization. So authentication, who is this person? Once we know who they are, we can remember that with their session that they're running, and then we can authorize them for certain things. So really, really basic, really easy. Let's try the second one. So the second one, as an introduction, is we have two identity platforms at Microsoft that we use. We have one that's called the Microsoft account. And the Microsoft account recently was called the Live ID. It was changed its name to the Microsoft account. Even before it was known as the Live ID, it was known as a Hotmail user? A passport, yes. So we've had that at Microsoft for a long time, and it is what we use for our consumer services at Microsoft. If you sign on with a Microsoft account, you get access to all sorts of things. You can sign on to your Xbox, you can buy Xbox points and buy games, you can get a free email address, you can get some storage in SkyDrive, all of these kind of great things. Now, we have another directory platform which we use for our commercial services, and this is called Windows Azure Active Directory. And the IDs in that are known as an organizational ID. So we use this for our commercial services, and Office 365 uses these organizational IDs to log in and authenticate users and then authorize those users. Now, it's important to know that these two identity platforms are separate. If you have a user ID that's logged into one, it's not the user ID that you will use to log into the other one. An organizational ID tends to come with something like an Office 365 subscription, and you can use it with other Microsoft commercial services. And that tends to come with an email address, and so it's the basis of your company's way of identifying you if you've deployed this at your company. And a Microsoft account does not have an organization behind it. It's an individual. It's assigned to a particular email address. And the Microsoft account doesn't know what organization you belong to. So we keep those separate so that your corporate systems can can stay separate, and you can keep privacy and controls on the consumer services. So the platform that we will be talking about today is the platform for organizational accounts. And we have Windows Azure Active Directory, which is in the cloud, and it is our directory store. You think of it like Active Directory that Microsoft is hosting on behalf of any companies that want to use services like Office 365, Microsoft Dynamics CRM, Windows Intune, or your own application. So you can build an application that makes use of this directory store. So we're going to be taking a look at this directory store and how Office 365 interacts with it. And this is the basis for all of the identity management work that we do in Office 365. Office 365 always uses Windows Azure Active Directory. This is part of how it's set up. It's not an option that you have. And so some of the interesting things that we get into talking about that we'll be talking about this morning are how can you make use of Windows Azure Active Directory to maybe use a different identity provider that you have. And that may be the identity provider you have in your organization already. It may be Active Directory. It may be another identity provider that you have in your organization. And so we want to look at how you can integrate with Windows Azure Active Directory. And once you do that, Office 365 will just use everything that Windows Azure Active Directory has set up. So we're kind of talking about essentially two different cloud services, both from Microsoft. We've got Office 365, which provides services like SharePoint and Exchange and Link. And then we've got Windows Azure Active Directory, which provides the identity. So for purposes of identity, it's interesting to separate those two. All right. So there are three primary ways that you will use identity in Office 365. And this is the last of my level set slides before we dive in. So the first way that you can use identity with Office 365 is really, really straightforward. You sign up for Office 365. I hope lots of people have done that here who signed up for an Office 365 tenant. Yeah, that's great. So when you do that, we will create an OU in Windows Azure Active Directory for that tenant. And so all of the email that you use in Exchange on that Office 365 tenant is authenticated through this directory. Now, you don't have to do anything special with Windows Azure Active Directory. You can add users in Office 365. You can reset their passwords. You can assign services to them, licenses, and all those sorts of things. And it's all taken care of inside of the web shell that is Office 365. Now, when you do that, the identities that you're creating, those users, they're all stored in the cloud. They're stored in Windows Azure Active Directory. And by default, they are literally just in the cloud. That's the only place they are. They're not automatically taken from your on-premise Active Directory or stored anywhere else. They're only stored in the cloud. And a couple of interesting things is that means not only is your user account stored in the cloud, but the password hashes that those users use to log in, they're also stored in the cloud. And this is something that is not always the case for login with Office 365. But in this simple case, when your user creates their password and they type it in, we take a one-way hash of it, so it's not reversible, and we will store it in Windows Azure Active Directory. When they come to log in, we do the same one-way hash on their password, and then we compare it to the hash that was previously stored in the cloud. So this is the case when you have not configured any other kind of identity redirection. The second simplest form of identity configuration in Office 365 is when you have an existing Active Directory on-premise and you want to synchronize all the users from your on-premise Active Directory into the cloud. And you can download a tool out of the Office 365 admin console, which is called DuraSync. And the directory synchronization tool will run on a member server in your domain, and it will synchronize any user object changes up into the cloud. So what you get if you configure this is you're using a domain controller and you've got an existing identity infrastructure using Active Directory on-premise, and you're also using Office 365, so you also have a directory in Windows Azure Active Directory, And the directory synchronization tool will synchronize your accounts from on-premise. That means it will look for changes, and after a couple of minutes after a change, it will synchronize that change up to the cloud. So what this typically means, and as you understand it, this is going to mean that your users are the same, and we manage certain edge cases, such as if you delete a user out of the cloud, you get to resynchronize it. If you delete a user on-premise, we'll synchronize the delete, and if you bring it back out of the garbage collector, we'll be able to resynchronize that existing user back up, and you can get it back up. So we'll take care of things like that. And one thing that, and this is what we're going to show, and hopefully in just a moment, is a change. But until now, your passwords will be different on-premise and in the cloud. So having different passwords is kind of a drag. It means when users log on and they're inside of your company and they're connected into the network jack or on Wi-Fi, they're going to be able to log in with their password, change their password. If they then go and log on Office 365 in the cloud, they'll have a different password. We absolutely are not going to be shifting passwords from your on-premise to in the cloud. We don't know those passwords. We only have the hashes. But we'll talk about that and what was announced yesterday for password synchronization in just a moment. Okay, so that's directory synchronization. And then the third one over here is federated identity. And federated identity is a really simple concept. What federated identity is Office 365 has Windows Azure Active Directory, and it uses Windows Azure Active Directory. But if you have an identity provider that you want to be able to do those authentication requests, you have a particular server, and this might be Active Directory, and you want that server to respond to when a user is checking their password. You want to check authorizations through a central point. Federation is what you want to do. Federation is what you need. Federation allows you to federate Windows Azure Active Directory with a particular identity provider that you have configured. And the way that people normally start looking at this is they've been working with directory synchronization for a little while, and they're like, hey, I really want the passwords to be the same, and I don't want users to have to change them in multiple places. And so they will configure Active Directory federation services, which means you add a couple of servers on-premise, servers that are accessible through your firewall and that Windows Azure Active Directory can connect to. And then you go into Office 365 in the admin, and you set up a pointer to those servers. And once you've done that, your DirSync will synchronize your directory up to Office 365. Okay, so you've got your directory there. And then when a user comes to log in to Office 365, Office 365 will use that federated connection and connect back to the ADFS server and say, hey, here's a password hash that I've computed. Is this the same as the one that the user has in Active Directory? And ADFS will respond with a SAML token, which will say, yes, it was, we're okay, we're good to go. All right? So that's the third concept is federated identity. And actually, federated identity is usually where things get a little more complex. People want to use different identity providers other than ADFS and Active Directory. And we'll talk about that a little more through the rest of the talk. But the simplest concepts that I've just gone through in these few slides, starting with authorization and authentication and authorization, and leading through to the three primary ways that we do authentication in Office 365. So hopefully that's been the level set, and everybody either already understood this or it's really obvious now. I'm saying that rhetorically because I don't want to get a lot of questions about this just yet, because we'll get into some more interesting stuff in just a moment. All right, so that's our intro section. And now we have these two new features that have just been announced that I want to talk about. When I say just been announced, the first one is password synchronization in the directory synchronization tool. And so this was just announced yesterday, and I think the bits for the new DirSync tool are just available to download from the Office 365 portal as well. And before I start talking about this, I want to very quickly switch over and see if I can set up a demo. So let me see if I can set that up. And I am going to go and sign out of I'm going to go into a... I'm going to go to in private browser because I don't know, I'm not signed into Office 365 anywhere. And we'll go to the portal. And we'll sign in here. All right. And what I want you to watch is I'm signing in here with this password, and it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 characters long. So what I want to do is I'm going to sign in with this password. Let's do that. And then I'm going to go and change the password. It didn't let me in. So I'm going to change the password, and then I'm going to change it to a different length, so hopefully you guys will be able to see. And I'm going to do that on premises. And then we're going to watch and see if the password is synchronized. So did I just get that wrong? Okay, that's a bit mean, but I got signed in. So I won't go and try and fix that right now. My administrator is in the front row. He hasn't given me a license for Office 365. I'm a new user, so I have to go back to him and say, please, administrator, can I have a license? We don't need that right now. What I wanted to show you is I've been able to sign in, and I used that password that was 11 characters long. So now I'm going to go onto an on-premise server, and is it okay to use this one? This is JLook Test Dirsync. I need to log in as me. Yeah, that's a good point. Let me check if I have. So I think I am logged in as me here, Paul Andrew. Okay, but that's not the right Paul Andrew. Okay, so I need to log in as me, and on this machine here, the second one. So if you counted those, I should have had 11 characters. I got it wrong. All right, I'm not authorized for remote login. I'm a real newbie user. Okay, so I'm not authorized for remote login. I'm wondering, my administrator, Jono, would you be able to authorize me for remote login and change my password to, let's say, one password and then an exclamation point? And we'll switch over to slides and talk about this a little bit more while he's hopefully doing that. All right, so while my password is being changed on premise and then synchronized, and we'll come back and see if that worked in a moment, we'll talk about this password sync tool a little bit more. Okay, so the DuraSync tool, if any of you are familiar with that, it's a simple download. You run it on a member server. It sets up some services on that server. And it runs in the background and monitors your Active Directory for changes to user objects. So we've added functionality into this, and there's one new screen in the setup wizard that we go through when you set that up. There are six screens total now. There were five, now there's six. So when you go through this, there's this one new screen, and it says, hey, enable password sync, and you can check the box. So if you check the box, in addition to your directory elements being synchronized to the cloud, we will also synchronize the one-way hash of the user's password. So we will keep that up in Windows Azure Active Directory as well. And what this means is when your user changes their password on premises, that password change will get replicated in the cloud and they won't have to do that a second time. All right. We cannot sync passwords for federated users. Simply because a federated user is a user that we do the authentication check back on premises anyway, so you don't want to set that up for a federated user. We will, of course, respect password policies just exactly the same way as Active Directory does right now, and your users need to change their passwords on-premise rather than in the cloud. All right, so let's look at, now that we have password sync in our DuraSync tool, what do you actually get if you use SSO with ADFS? Because I know that a lot of customers go to ADFS specifically because their users don't have to change their passwords in two places. So what do you still get now if you have ADFS? Well, let's take a look. The same password access to resources. So we got that with password sync. You don't need to get ADFS for that. Can control password policies on-premise. Check, we've got that, because your user is actually changing their password on-premise. They're not changing it in the cloud. Support for two-factor authentication. Check, we can do that with password sync and with ADFS. And we're going to look at two-factor authentication in just a moment. No password re-entry if on-premises. Well, you don't get this with password sync. This is a special thing that we do with ADFS. And effectively, what this means is if you have a PC and it's inside of your organization, it's on your LAN, and it's authenticated against your domain controllers, and the user has logged into that PC, so if all of those things are true, then Office 365 does not need to ask for that user's password again if you're using ADFS. Why is that true? Because when you go and log in out on Office 365, you go to portal.microsoftonline.com, and it tries to authenticate you, it's going back to your on-premises domain controller, which has already authenticated you. So it doesn't need to prompt you for the password again. So that's pretty clever. We can't do that with password sync. Client access filtering. What's client access filtering? You can't do that with password sync. Client access filtering allows you to block users from accessing Office 365 if they're coming from certain IP addresses. And then authentication occurs on-premises directory. So there's a couple of reasons you might want your authentication to specifically occur in your on-premises directory. You may have security policies about users requiring changes in your policy to be implemented immediately rather than waiting for a synchronization to occur. All right, so should we go back and try? We'll try again. All right, I'm going to switch over here, HDMI. Oh, yeah, we saw that. Oh, yeah. So that means I just need to come up here and I need to sign out. Sign out of that. So we'll go back in real quick. Yeah, come on. It's always safer to use safe browsing. Okay, here we go. So let's see if our password has synchronized, and it's going to be. And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we changed our password from 11 characters to 10 characters, because that's all you can really see. And we got in, and I got a license. My request was granted. Okay, so what's happened is Jono has a domain controller back in Redmond for this domain. It's our test domain that we use for this project. And he's changed my password on that. I'm sorry you weren't able to see all of that, but you did get to see that my password changed from 11 characters to 10 characters. I don't expect applause for changing that. Okay, so the second thing that we want to talk about today, and this is also announced just in the last day or two, and I want to demo this as well, is multi-factor authentication. So the first thing you want to think about is what is multi-factor authentication and why would I care? Multi-factor authentication is trying to get to more than just a password. A password is something that you could lose, could get guessed, could get hacked. There are brute force attacks to figure out passwords. And effectively that means then someone from anywhere in the world can connect into your services and change them, modify them, and they're compromised. So multi-factor authentication gives you a second factor. Maybe it's something that you hold, something that you have. And sometimes we use a smart card for this. Sometimes we use a secure ID with a generating number that you read out. And sometimes we can use our cell phones. So Microsoft acquired a company called Phone Factor last year, and we've been working to integrate Phone Factor technology, which is two-factor authentication technology using your cell phone. We've been working to authenticate that, to integrate that both with Windows Azure Active Directory and also, consequently, with Office 365. All right, so as we are in a world where security concerns are becoming more and more, we want to enable you to be able to use this technology. So let's take a look at what it means. Using multi-factor authentication for Office 365 and using the phone factor technology means you'll be able to either use a mobile app, which has been authenticated to be you, or you can take a phone call to authenticate that you have access to the phone. So I got a phone here that we're gonna try out. Or you can receive a text message and reply to a text message. So either of these mechanisms is possible with this technology, and we're calling this active authentication for use with Windows Azure Active Directory and Office 365. So let's take a quick look at what it actually does. First off, the user is going to sign in from whatever device they have using their existing username and password. Remember, this is multi-factor authentication. So first off, you've actually got to know your password. So you do that, and you're going to authenticate against Windows Azure Active Directory, which of course is what we use for Office 365. And then your account has been configured for multi-factor authentication. And this means that you're not going to get immediately logged in, but you're going to go into a transitory screen, and then we're going to do the multi-factor authentication. So let's take a look at it. All right, so I have my phone here up and ready, and all I've got to do on this phone is take a phone call, and I've got it plugged in so you guys can hear any phone calls that I might get. So nobody call me. And, okay, we're on here. We're going to sign out, but we're in private. I'd really prefer to use this one. Sorry, that didn't work. Okay, all right, so what I have here, just to set this up, I'm logged into an Office 365 tenant where I am the global administrator. And so you're seeing just the main dashboard that I come in when I log into Office 365. I'm going to go into Users and Groups. And you can see here, this is the user I'm logged into as Paul Andrew. I've got a backup global administrator just in case I can't get in with my regular administrator account. And you can see that I've got this new setting here, set stronger verification requirements, and that's what we're going to get into. Before we do that, I'll go and create a new global administrator that we can set that up on. And let's call that. Hey, okay, let's not worry about that. Spell New Orleans. What? Okay, that's kind of odd. All right, let's create another new user. And we'll set this user as a global administrator. Say that they are in the United States. We'll give them a license. All right, so now we have a new user. And once we have this new administrator, we can go in and set up the stronger verification requirements. And in the multi-factor authentication page here, we can set up active authentication on my new user just by checking on it and saying enable. Enable multi-factor authentication, yep. And once we do that, it's going to, the next time that user logs in, it's going to let that user log in that one time with their password, and then it's going to tell them, hey, you've been configured for active authentication, and you need to specify a strong authentication device. Okay, and so I have a user that I have configured for that. So let me go and log out and log in with that user. Yeah, we've seen that before. Go on here, sign out. Didn't really sign out, did it? Okay, it signed out for me. So let me log in with this other user. And this user's been configured for active authentication, so it's going to call my cell phone. You can see my cell phone number there, it's 55. Does not. Waiting for a call. Is my number really 55? Oh, am I syncing the mobile number from AD? So I am not. So the user enters the mobile number. Let's listen to what they say.
Thank you for using Microsoft Sign-In Verification System. Press the pound key to finish signing in. You have been signed in. Goodbye.
All right, so that's the phone call. And then you see I get signed in as soon as I hit hash on the phone call. So there's three ways that you can do that right now. You can either have the phone call, which proves that I have the phone simply because I hit the hash key. I don't have to put in another password there. The second way you can do it is with a text message. So you can send a text message to the phone and have it sent back. And the third way is you can have an app on the phone which can take a push message to the phone and respond to it. So the one screen I think that we missed seeing there, and I want to show you that. It's this guy here. So the one screen that we missed seeing there, and this is actually as the user when you go in to look at your additional security verification, you can set up what phone or multiple phones, if you have multiple phones that you have at different times, and you can also set up the app that you want to configure. So This is the screen that you'd use to do this. And you're prompted to configure one of these the first time that you log in. Your phone number is not actually synchronized from AD. You have to enter it separately for active authentication. I appreciate your users may already have put in their mobile phone. This is not using that field. Okay, so if you look down to... if you look at where the hand is pointing up here, pointing at passwords, there's one part of Office 365 that you can't just sign in today by using a cell phone, and that is the client applications. The client applications log in directly from the client application to Active Directory, and they're not currently configured for using a phone call. So what you can do in lieu of that is set up an app password. And an app password, clicked on that other screen there, is a long password that you give your user that they can use when they're on premises and they need to sign into those apps. So that's the alternative that we use for the multi-factor authentication. And if we take a look over here, if you open up this mobile app password, what we need to do with the mobile app is we need to verify that the mobile app that you've installed on your device is actually identifying you. And the way we do this while you're logged in is you pop up this this little window here, and you can either enter the code here or you can scan the image to authenticate that you're the person who's using the mobile app. All right, so what have I got to here? So we've talked about these two new things that we've got, password sync and DuraSync, and we also talked about the active authentication from Windows Azure Active Directory. Kaval, other things which are not quite as new as those two things are brand new, is the ability to use the Graph API to access your Windows Azure Active Directory. So you can use this from PowerShell. And this is a pretty recent addition that we've had. You can use this from PowerShell to modify your users in the Active Directory. And we also have the Active Directory connector for Forefront Identity Manager 2010 R2. And we're starting a public beta for this in later in June. Speaking of dates, I should call out that the Active Directory... Let's not take any more phone calls. The active authentication is going into a preview in about a week's time, and it's expected to be released inside of the next 3 months. So that's kind of the time frame on that. It's not available right now, which is kind of why I had to switch between a few things to show it to you. All right. So the next part of the talk, and this is the third section, I want to drill into the different ways that you can integrate identity providers with Office 365. So we're going to take a look at these six different mechanisms that you can use for authentication in Office 365. Now, this may seem like a bit of an eye chart, but hopefully it just builds on what we talked about before, where we talked about having a cloud identity in Windows Azure Active Directory. We talked about using DuraSync to synchronize your user objects. And then we talked about doing federated identity, which gives you single sign-on. Single sign-on being you sign on one time and you continue to be signed on for the period of the login session. All right, so I've expanded on those a little bit here in order to talk through some of the different options that you have when you're implementing those three things. So let's just walk through them quickly on this slide, and then I have a couple of slides on each one that I'll talk to. So the first one is cloud identity, and cloud identity is where all of your users are stored in Windows Azure Active Directory, and Office 365 uses that to both log in your users or to authenticate them, and then also to authorize them for certain services. So all of that is stored in the cloud and hosted by Microsoft. So that's the simplest way that you can set up. Remember, there's really nothing that you have to do other than sign up for Office 365 and create users. The second one that you will set up is Directory Sync. Directory Sync is a tool that you can download from the Office 365 admin portal. and you can run it on a member server inside of your domain, and it will synchronize your Active Directory, your on-premise Active Directory, with your cloud directory being Windows Azure Active Directory. So that's pretty straightforward as well. It's pretty easy to set up, and people will usually set that up as a first step when they have an on-premise Active Directory and they want to use those existing users. Password Sync, we've spent a bit of time talking about already. Password Sync is going to give you the same credentials in the cloud in Office 365 as you have on-premise. And then the Graph API. Graph API is one that you might want to use if you have unusual kind of identity scenarios where you need to take some manual control over what identities you're synchronizing to the cloud. Using PowerShell, you can be in control of that and be basically doing that synchronization manually and deciding what identities and what information you're synchronizing up there. Forefront Identity Manager is the identity management server product from Microsoft. If you have deployed Forefront Identity Manager, you can use that to aid the synchronization of identities up to Windows Azure Active Directory. And we have an upcoming Office 365 connector for that. And then single sign-on or federated identity, which could be using ADFS or could be using another product. And we'll talk about some of those other products that we're able to support with Office 365 as part of that section. All right, so that's all the way through the continuum of different kinds of identity integration for Office 365. So the first one, real simple, and I'm going to show one of these little diagrams for each of these models. It is all built into Office 365. This is where you are a brand new company and you don't have an existing directory that you have to migrate over, or you're okay with re-entering all your users. So this is a new directory you're going to get, and it really has no relation to any other directory that you have in your organization. Because of this, it's really easy to deploy. You don't have to do anything. It's very easy to manage, very easy to support. It only uses the Office 365 UI that you've signed up for. Because everything is hosted in the cloud by Microsoft, you get very high availability. In Office 365, we give you a 99.9% uptime SLA, which is financially backed, and we will ensure that your service is online and highly available and all across the world. So very simple, very easy to use. Directory synchronization, which is we've been talking about quite a bit this morning already. Directory synchronization is, as the diagram shows, going to take your user who's on-premise and synchronize them up into the cloud. It's going to allow you to reuse your existing directory. It's not going to give you some of the nicer things that you might expect with a single sign-on solution, though. It's really just making it easy for you to re-enter your directory information that you have on-premise and make sure that you've re-entered that in the cloud, but we're doing all that automatically. With the addition of password synchronization, we are also taking the one-way hashes of your users' passwords, and we're going to be storing them in the cloud. So this also allows you to reuse your directory, and it allows your users to reuse their existing passwords. We won't let them change their passwords in the cloud if their identities are stored on-premise and they're synchronized. They're marked inside of Office 365 so that users don't accidentally change their passwords and get them out of sync. They will need to go and change those passwords on-premise. All right, so as part of directory synchronization, one thing that we didn't talk about yet is scoping and filtering. So if you have a large directory, maybe you have multiple organizational units, your users that you synchronize can be scoped to certain parts of your directory. And you can do that using PowerShell as part of the directory synchronization configuration. One thing that we want to make sure that you don't do is we need to avoid limiting the attributes of the individual identities that are synchronized to the cloud. We need all of the attributes that are associated with those to be synchronized just as they are in your on-premise Active Directory for support purposes. But you can limit what actual users are synchronized up to the cloud and by use of scoping and filtering. Question is, does that include custom attributes? And so the answer for folks in the back is we currently don't support synchronization of custom attributes at all. Oh, I'm sorry. So custom 1 through 15, okay. Extensions that you add, not so much. All right. Multi-forest. If you have an Active Directory with multiple forests, synchronization becomes more complicated. So we want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about that with the aid of a flowchart. All right, this is a very simple flowchart. And essentially, a lot of what we're looking at on this flowchart is it possible to continue with multiple forests, or do I have to consolidate those forests into one forest? So we can support having users in multiple forests, but we can't support having exchange servers in multiple forests. So what we're going to do here is we're going to start at the top. We're going to have a look. Hey, do you have how many Active Directory forests do you have? If you just have one, then you're going to use the standard dir-sync tool. And you have no problem. You go out to that single one line, and you're using the standard dir-sync tool. If you have multiple, so greater than one, then, hey, do you want to consolidate your forests? Well, we have a white paper on TechNet that can help you to consolidate forests in Active Directory. You should check that out. After you're done with that, you can use the standard single forest dir-sync tool. If you don't want to consolidate your single forests, typically you will have multiple forests for a reason. Maybe you don't want to do that. Then how many exchange orgs do you have? How many OUs do you have that have exchange servers set up in them? If you have none, well, that's kind of interesting. Well, then we're going to go on to this piece on the right here. It's on my right. If you have multiple exchange orgs, then you have to consolidate those. And you have to consolidate those into a single exchange org. So we're going back up to that green box, needs on-premise org consolidation, and then we're going to start around again. If you just have a single exchange org and you have multiple account orgs, then you're going to need a version of the dir-sync tool, which is for use with multi-forest. And using this tool is going to also mean that you're going to need to get Microsoft Consulting Services involved and our Cloud Vantage team. So this is not a simple configuration that we have here. So if you end up in this multi-forest dir-sync tool, that's where you want to go. Your other option here is using the Office 365 connector for Forefront Identity Manager. And this gives you an option if you have a slightly more complicated domain, which is not straightforward to use with dir-sync, and if you're outside of that box walking through that flowchart. All right, so we started talking a little earlier. What are we doing? We started talking a little earlier about PowerShell, use of PowerShell and using the Graph API through REST. This obviously requires you to know some stuff about PowerShell, but it does give you some options for building your own integration with the Windows Azure Active Directory and the identities that you have up there for use by Office 365. There are performance limitations. Performance limitations are around exactly how long does it take to run your PowerShell script and how many of those changes can we take through the REST API that we have on the server. So that may be something to test and watch out for if you're developing against this. The Forefront Identity Manager Office 365 connector, or the Office 365 connector for Forefront Identity Manager. For complex multi-forest AD scenarios that we saw ending up from the flowchart just before, Forefront Identity Manager is a tool that you may want to use if you have some of these configurations in Active Directory. So federated identity, this is, of course, as I described before, where you have your directory synchronized from your on-premise directory into the cloud, and then at the time when a user is making authentication or authorization request, at that time, you want to go back to the original source and take the hash of the password and ask that original source, should this user be able to log in? And so we're going to connect back, if this is ADFS, we're going to connect back to the ADFS server, which will look the user up in Active Directory and verify their password then and there. So we can also do federated identity with non-AD identity providers. And here's three broad options that we have right now. ADFS, which works with Active Directory specifically, will give you the single sign-on. It's integrated with Active Directory on-premises. It has all of those features that I showed on the comparison between password sync and ADFS. It's going to give you the single password sign-on, so no reprompt when your users connect to an Office 365 service. And it's going to also require some additional servers. ADFS typically is going to require two additional servers to provide for redundancy so that Office 365 can connect into it. We recommend two servers. So there is a little bit of work there. And those servers, of course, will need you to support them, and they'll need licensing costs. So jump to the third one over here, Shibboleth. Shibboleth is SAML 2-based protocol. Shibboleth is an open source project that's set up and used by a lot of educational institutions. And we have support for federating with Shibboleth, which we brought out around June or July last year. And that's documented on TechNet how you can set that up. You can set up the connection point for Windows Azure Active Directory to connect to your Shibboleth identity provider. And this is going to give you sign-on from Office 365 into federated with your Shibboleth identity provider. And we'll use the SAML2 protocols to connect to that. We can also support Outlook authentication with Shibboleth. So if you set this up, you can configure Outlook to connect to the ECP endpoint for the Shibboleth identity provider, and that'll enable Outlook to be authenticated that way as well. With Shibboleth, you won't get authentication for other rich client applications. So notably, Link will not be able to get authentication into your identity provider, and this makes it very hard to use a Link in an organization that is using Shibboleth for login. So the third one we have here is third-party security token services, and we are supporting a number of third-party security token services, or we're supporting Office 365 for use with those, specifically where they use WS Federation and WS Trust protocols. So WS Federation allows the same federated login where your user logs in to Office 365 and Windows Azure Active Directory knows that this is a federated user, and so it would use WS Federation to connect to the security token service and make the request. We also support WS Trust. WS Trust is a protocol supported by the Office Rich Client applications. So all of the Office Rich Client applications, including Link and Word and Excel and PowerPoint, when those need to authenticate against Office 365, are able to use WS Trust to a security token service. So broadly, three different options, blue, orange, and gray, for identity providers that we support on-premise right now. We have a program for security token services from third parties, and this program that we run is largely around how can we work to support our customers on Office 365 when they want to integrate with these third-party identity providers. And what we do is we'll work with the identity provider and set up some test environments, get our support people to be familiar with how their identity provider is configured. Microsoft won't actually support the third-party identity providers, but I'm sure for those of you who've worked on identity systems before, making sure that everything's configured right when there are issues, figuring out what they are, is pretty time-consuming. So Microsoft will support Office 365 when connected with identity providers that we have done that testing with and that we've worked through. For Shibboleth, we don't need to have the specific identity provider or the person responsible for the code on the list. We're okay with Shibboleth. For the WS Trust and WS Federation Security Token Services, we want to work at the moment to make sure that we've tested against those. So we'll qualify those identity providers and then be able to provide support for Office 365 when integrated with them. If there's an issue with the on-premise identity provider, the third party, we'll hand off support to that third party, of course, for them to support their product. And we'll make sure that that support is coordinated between the identity provider and Microsoft. So we have a list of some of the identity providers on TechNet, ak.ms/SSO providers that we've worked with, and any things that you need to be aware of when integrating with those identity providers. Here's some of the identity providers that we've integrated with. The couple at the top that support WS Trust and WS Federation. Remember, if we have WS Federation but not WS Trust, what this means is we can do single sign-on from Office 365, but we can't connect in from Outlook and Link and other Office applications. And then SAMLP provides a similar integration to WS Federation. It's just a variant of the protocol of how the SAML token is wrapped up. And when using SAMLP, this is similar to the protocols that Shibboleth use, but SAMLP is a variant of that.
Are you taking questions?
Very shortly, yes.
So looking a little bit more broadly than the Office 365 identity integration, do you have a similar program for third-party providers for Azure Active Directory? Because I note that Office 365 supports SAML and Shibboleth, but Azure Active Directory does not provide that support.
Currently, we don't have a program for any other applications built on Windows Azure Active Directory. But if you want to talk to me offline, one of the things that we do want to do is ensure that Microsoft customers using Office 365 and making use of Windows Azure Active Directory are able to use those products. And I know specifically for Office 365, where there are identity providers that we haven't worked with and we haven't tested, we want to make sure our customers, our Office 365 customers, are able to make full use of our products. So we're interested in talking to any identity providers that are out there that don't currently fall into one of those groups that we have. But the answer is no, we do not currently have a program for Windows Azure Active Directory connectivity.
I have a second question, if you
can we come back to that? And because I actually only have, I think, two more slides, and then we'll be open for questions. So stay right there. So client access control is a part of ADFS. This is something that is enabled through the SSO integration for ADFS, and it's something you don't get when you're using a third-party identity provider. Client access control, I mentioned it right at the start. It enables you to configure certain IP addresses that you want to allow access to from certain user accounts on your Office 365 system. So, for example, you could block all external access to Office 365 and limit it to people who are working inside of your corporate network, inside of your buildings. You could decide to block all external access apart from Exchange Active Sync. You could allow your users to take their cell phones and synchronize their mail, but not have access to maybe your files, which are stored on SharePoint Online. And you could alternatively allow access to Office web apps. All right, so one more thing that I wanted to talk about. Now that you guys have all set up Office 365 and you have your directories in Windows Azure Active Directory, you can make use of Windows Azure Active Directory for other applications. I mentioned earlier you can use them for Microsoft applications, but the Azure team have made this available for any application that you might want to build, and they have published on MSDN guidance for how you can build software that makes use of Windows Azure Active Directory. You can authenticate users against it, and you can authorize users and essentially use it as an Active Directory domain controller, and make use of it from a web application that you might build. All right, so that's the last piece. In summary then, we walked through the very basics right at the beginning. You can go back and take a look at that if you want. We talked about Password synchronization in DuraSync. We also talked about active authentication for multi-factor authentication. And then we walked through these six different ways that you can integrate an identity provider with Office 365. You can just have a cloud identity. You can use DuraSync to synchronize your on-premise directory with the cloud. You can use DuraSync to synchronize with a password sync, where we synchronize the password hash. You can use Graph API. You can use PowerShell to access the Graph API and make changes yourself. You can use the Office 365 connector for Forefront Identity Manager for more complex domains with multiple forests. And you can use Federation or single sign-on, which could be ADFS, which could be Shibboleth with SAML, which could be an STS that uses WS Federation and WS Trust. That's part of our program. All right, so I can take questions now. I want to thank you all for listening to me talk about identity for the morning. We have an advanced session on identity where a couple of the program managers who are experts in this field will be here on Thursday, and this talk is OUCB341. My talk was a 200 level, so I'm trying to give you an introduction and help you to explain to your colleagues what is identity management in Office 365. I encourage you to take your scenarios. I don't know, many of you will have scenarios for questions today, but I encourage you to take your scenarios and go to this more advanced talk if we're unable to answer your questions today. I'll be at the TLC a bit later today, and I have a couple of links here as well. There's some more resources I'm required to show you. I hope you'll take a look at those later. And would you please fill in an evaluation? And I think that's my last one. And I want to thank you very much, and we can take questions at the mics. Jono, I wonder if I could ask you to come up and help take questions with me. Thank you, everyone.